This hour of Overdrive is powered by Muskoka Woods. This summer, let your child experience an overnight camp like no other. Let the adventures begin at MuskokaWoods.com.
All right, so everyone's feeling good now. Everyone is having a good time.
Positive Friday?
Well, we did say it was positive Thursday yesterday.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah,
so what
we're putting out some positive vibes yesterday.
What did you leave the show at yesterday? It sounded like you had a decent show. There was some shambles a little bit here and there, but...
No, we basically said we're, like, emotionally drained. It's not like if they got pumped last night and they were garbage, I don't know if anybody had it in them to come in today and be screaming and yelling. And there's other people that are saying, oh, I've had some individual tweets. There's actually some people in this building, Joe from the Bridge, that are like, oh, is everybody okay with the Leafs not being the worst team in the league anymore? And by the way, we never said that, ever. They're a good team. They have good players. And it's almost sad to sit here and say, wow, are we going to really pump the tires of a team giving a good effort and being intense and engaged and sticking up for their teammates? That's the going rate in the NHL as far as an effort if you want to be a good team consistently and be considered a cup contender if you have the right amount of talent. Great job, guys. I like that. That's something you can be proud of and you can build off of and move forward
right. And
go into a video meeting this morning and say, hey, look at this. You guys did this. This is good stuff. Checking, defending, playing with passion, all that stuff.
But yeah, they played great last night.
You shouldn't have to pump their tires too much. That's the going rate in the big leagues as far as an effort.
Yeah, but you're right. That should be standard procedure for every team in the league. It's not. I mean, these are humans we're talking about in every sport. You know it. You could throw away like 10 games a year.
Yes.
And just know that that's going
to
happen.
Unfortunately, they've run out of time to throw another. They got to do that 15 or 16 more times, and they might have a chance to win those games.
Right.
That's not saying it's automatic win if they bring that.
No, exactly. Like, the other team's allowed to do that, too, and the other team's got talent, and the other team's got a goaltender and a coaching staff. And
they actually got jerseys and everything.
Yeah,
right?
You can believe
real teams.
Right. Yeah, but the Leafs played really well last night. Yeah, like, they really, you could tell that they answered their own challenge, which is really the only challenge that matters. It doesn't matter what talking heads like you and I have to say or what the fans are saying or the emotional swings one way or the other. They called themselves out. You know, they were using words like work ethic and effort and taking them into account. And I thought they showed up and played really well last night. And that's a big win. Guess what? You got 20 more games left.
Right.
You're just going to roll it over. You know, I was on the way down to the game last night. Ralphie had a great, I think, analogy or way of setting up the feeling in the building and feeling around the team. Last night felt like a game where you're down 3-1 in a series. And it's like, do you have the stones to battle back? Or are you just going to pack up shop and say, forget it, we're probably not going to win anyway?
Jersey Devils a bunch of years ago were down 3-1 to the Flyers, and they just had some stones, man. They came back, won the cup.
Exactly. And obviously it wasn't a Stanley Cup win last night. That's not what I'm suggesting.
No. But
what I'm saying
is they had the stones. They showed
it. You had to do it. You had to step up last night, because if they lost or got blown out, it would have been, here we go, these guys are in big trouble.
There's no sense of having a good effort and then coming back in the room and saying, oh, we can build. They had to win that game.
You got to win that game. Got to win that game.
There was no time for moral victory.
You couldn't add a moral victory last night.
You got 20 games left.
They played well. They deserved. They deserved that win. They deserved the accolades. I'm not going to go. You know, I wasn't as far off the other day, but I'm not going to be as far on the other side. Like, it's a template. It's a great win. You got to follow it up. And the one thing I was telling Brian off air, the one thing I noticed. I don't think they played a different game, but they played a more responsible game. Like, it wasn't I call it a globetrotter game. Like, the Leafs, when they're rolling, it's, you know, back pass, it's hold the puck and it's circle back and all that. That works some nights when things are going well and the team that you're playing has loose coverage. But you're rarely going to get that down the stretch where you're playing now some teams that are competing for those 2 points, and it's do or die. So the time and space isn't out there. I didn't notice. Maybe you guys can point this out or feel differently about it. I didn't notice the fanciness to their game. I noticed hard work, 50-50 battles. Yeah, there's some fancy plays. That's skill. And the top player should always try that because they have the ability.
I tried to do a breakdown to show where a simple play can help you allow
right.
to use your skill.
Right.
And you were doing the Ottawa game.
Well, I watched
it. But
it was
Mitch Marner. He had it in the center of the ice, and he had an opportunity to throw a backhand sauce or a spinorama, and he just shoveled it around the boards, and then he got it back, and then he made a great play to Matthews for a one-timer.
Yeah,
and
it's the one that hit high.
I'm not sure when it was, but if you just do that play enough times where their skill's going to take over.
Yeah.
Like every time. I was a skilled player. I wasn't the best player. I wasn't Mitch Marner or Austin Matthews. But my dad, who didn't really take an involved role in my hockey career the later I got on, he would sometimes place a phone call and say, if you just start working a little bit harder, you're going to get the puck more and you can make better plays. It all starts with that. And no matter how good you are, there's not very many Gretzky's out there. Look at Sidney Crosby, man. He works his ass off.
Yeah.
Not many guys like Mario or Gretzky can just go out there and look like they're floating around. All of a sudden, they got 6 points. Not many guys do that.
No. I just noticed that that was a full-on, for lack of better words, an NHL game last night. Like, the way that they played. Like, it wasn't, you know, hey, we're gonna you know, the sixth defenseman needs to circle back and make this play and that. It was like with a purpose, everyone. And they were the better team last night. They deserved the 2 points.
Yeah, they played well. And I thought are different.
Pitt didn't bring much. They looked like
they
had the
didn't. They looked flat, but it doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say their whole team looked flat.
Ah, like, so what? They beat them. They dominated the Pitt Penguins. They won 4-0.
We're not going to play that game. Like, you know, the Leafs didn't get that luxury. Or Pittsburgh, we were pumping their tires for 2 days about how great they looked on Tuesday night, where in reality, the Leafs didn't show up.
Right.
I think Pittsburgh showed up more last night than the Leafs did Tuesday night in Pittsburgh. They had some guys that were rolling. Like, mm-hmm. Now, the big boys didn't. Sid and Gino never made an impact on that game at any point. Like, I was actually surprised. I kept waiting for them. Like, right. Gino, Malkin in particular, did literally nothing last night.
Yeah, he looked like he was coming
last
off
night.
The flu. He did look
but
like sluggish.
They still have guys like that. Brandon Tanev, every time he's on the ice, is flying around a million miles an hour, hitting everything he can. Hornqvist is one of the biggest weasels in the league, and I mean that in a complimentary fashion.
Yeah. Like that one player in front of the net, he literally tried to run Freddie Anderson over. He tried to punch him in the head and run him over.
Well, somehow Kapanen ends up fighting McCann, where he was going after Hornqvist. That's who he was going towards, and then McCann steps in. But that line, you know, they were there. And
how many times have you said a Leaf guy, like, other than Clifford or somebody going after it. Like that was good. That was good. That's the NHL.
Have to do it every night.
That's a competitive league.
But that line, I mean, those are the matchups. That's what we're talking about. That, like, Tanev and I guess McCann to an extent, but certainly a Hornqvist type. Like, they're not all Crosby. They're not Malkin types. And Kapanen, I hope, has realized something. And I will give credit to Mike Babcock again. It's funny how Babcock has come up
several times.
A lot more times recently when we start seeing things pop up. Let me jog your memory here. I believe it was the beginning of last year. Remember Babcock said Kapanen needs to realize he's not Marner, he's Hyman. That's what he has to be. But I think it's taken a while for Kapanen, and I'm not saying it dawned on him last night, and that's what we're going to get for the final 20 games and the rest of his career. I believe Kapanen probably thinks he's closer to Nylander, Marner in terms of first-round pick, skill, you know, son of an NHL player who was a skill guy. But what Babcock always used to hammer home is that's not who you are. You have to be a guy who plays with jam and hits and mucks it up every once in a while.
I agree. And there's also one other element to that is he's never going to be Marner or Nylander because he is never going to get that ice time because those two players play in front of him.
Right.
So, but I would suggest to him, if he ever moves on to another team and he gets a two spot or a 1A spot or something like that, where he might move up and down, he should still try to play like a Hyman.
Exactly. Play. Now, you're not going to be exactly like Hyman. He's got better hands than Hyman.
Right.
But if you can just play with a chip on your shoulder and be a noticeable guy.
Right.
He played. He was sour last night. Got into a fight. He held his own really well.
Yeah, listen.
And McCann, you know, whatever. It's not like McCann's a heavyweight. It's not Ty Domi he fought last night. But
I was happy for him. I just, you know, there are guys that, you regardless of what they say, people hear like that. They would have heard the noise in this market, obviously.
Right.
As players, like they knew it. I mean, Tavares even flat out said we hear. He said it in a diplomatic way. We hear how loud the market is right now. How passionate they want us to win. Blah blah blah. Those guys have pride. Like Freddie Anderson heard. I didn't think he had to be.
He didn't have to steal
the game.
Played well.
But he was good.
Yeah,
and he
looked
needed
steady.
To be good. He looked confident. He was good with his rebounds. He was top of his crease. Like, that looked like the Freddie Anderson that we all know and love when he's at the top of his game. Jake Muzzin, was a guy who paid lip service. This is a guy who's won cups and been there and that and kind of laid it out there. But he backed it up. And you don't have to score every night, but you have to be an impactful player. And I thought, to a man, there were, if you want to flip the script, Tuesday night, I can't think of one. Maybe Zach Hyman played hard and Spezza. You know, there's two or three guys that you could point out say that played hard and played their game.
Right, that you noticed were.
Last night, it doesn't come to mind anybody that
really
had off nights,
right.
Which is good. Now, listen, that's your template. You know you're capable of it. It's hard to call on that every night.
It's not going to happen every night.
But you have to have something that looks more like that than what it looked like on Tuesday to have success in this league.
Right. And this goes without saying again, but with 20 games left, if they play with the effort and intensity and attention to detail they did last night, I think we'd all admit they're getting in, whether it's in that third spot or the wild card. If they play closer to the way they did against Buffalo and in Pittsburgh, they're going to miss.
Right.
Like, that really is the separation, because the team is the team. The talent is the team.
Yeah.
Collectively, the goalie is who he is.
It all clicks in where it's like, man, if we keep doing that, we can win some games.
You can get in.
That's what the hope is.
But the only difference for me.
And that's really what you're hoping for at this point.
How it's taken this long is beyond me, but go
ahead.
But
how did it look last night? Like, that's the difference for me.
The way they played, you mean?
The way they played. That's a systematic game. A lot more than loosey-goosey, hey, I'm going to... And listen, risk-reward, I get it. On nights when it works, great. But on nights when it doesn't work, you have to have a reaction. Like, oh, hey, that saucer pass didn't work through the middle. You know what? Like, we'll rely on the D to cover that up, or we'll rely on the goalie. You have to have... If something doesn't work, you have to have a counter-reaction. And that's where you used to say... 7 out of 10 times, Patrick Kane, make the play. But the three, get your ass back or find a way to help out. And that's
good teams,
where
you get a hall pass once in a while. You buzz into Ottawa on a Thursday or a Tuesday, or Detroit on a Wednesday night, and you just say, you know what, let's try to beat these guys 6-0, be up 4-0 after the first. And sometimes that does work, where you're good enough where it's like, okay, go ahead and do that. But the other times it doesn't work, you have to go in there after the game and say, okay, guys, pull your head out of your ass. That didn't work. Let's get back to our game.
Right.
Well, and it has to continue.
82 games in a year, you're going to get a whole bunch of
you're going to miss a bunch of them. And they've done that a bunch of times. And over the final 20 games, there's going to be more peaks and valleys. They're going to have good games and bad games. It's somewhere in the middle. And, yes, this market is volatile. It is fickle. It is overly emotional. But I think that's what makes it so beautiful, personally.
I think it's, yeah.
You think it's crazy.
I think it's crazy.
I think anyone that is more objective, anyone that isn't a fan, would consider it crazy. I might mock it, quite frankly.
I'm not mocking
but
it at all.
But it's a beautiful thing.
But
because there are teams in this league that have no one behind them, that couldn't care less if they even exist, that don't show up, don't pay attention.
Right.
Oh, they're in the playoffs? Oh, they're in a cup final? Yeah, maybe I can get a ticket tonight. Yeah, you can for $20. That is the beauty of Toronto.
Right.
What we've experienced in the last 72 hours, is it insane? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it irrational? Maybe.
Very.
Is it amazing?
No.
100% it is. 100%.
Ask yourself,
I love everything about
ask yourself
it.
Wednesday
I wouldn't
morning
want to be a
if
fan
you thought was that was amazing.
Oh, but that's living, though. That's my point. Yes, it was insane. I was furious.
I watched
but
Twitter
But I can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of the emotion. That's what being a fan is.
Yeah.
The past 72 hours is a 30 for 30 documentary. That's the lunacy of this market, but that's the beauty of it, too. It's a beautiful place.
So the bandwagon's back
full. And I'm lucky
full.
To be born and raised here.
They're back
here.
Full now.
No,
that's
it's not.
What it is.
No, not in the nothing's
well,
changed.
According to the Joe from the Bridges.
Well, no, but Joe from the Bridges claiming he wasn't freaking out 2 days ago.
Go back on his Twitter feed.
I was going crazy. They nothing changed.
Right.
They are still 50-50 to get in.
Right.
Now, Florida happened to lose last night. That helps them a little bit.
Sure.
But they're 50-50 to get in. The way they're built, the way they play, they're not winning a Stanley Cup, in my opinion.
Well,
but
let's see if they can change that. That's get
it was
on a,
a
roll,
good game.
Play well. Like,
it was a good game.
That's
they played
the beauty.
Well last
that,
night.
I will admit, that's the beauty of this game and being just a fan of hockey, which I am, is seeing the ebbs and flows, seeing if a team can grasp something and get it at the right time. Get lightning in a bottle. Get feeling good about your game. Get, you know, put some things together. See if the manager, you know, is going to give you some help here at the deadline or not.
Well, and you got five more games against the elite teams in the East. You went 1-1 here against Pittsburgh.
Right.
So you have three more against Tampa, and then at Boston, at Washington. Mm-hmm. So I think you need at least two more wins out of those five.
Two head-to-head against
And then
Florida.
Two against Florida, which are clearly that's as big as it gets, including next Thursday, I believe, they're in Florida.
Tuesday at Tampa,
Thursday at Florida. And Carolina on Saturday night's a big game as well. Carolina's in the race, and they play tonight. So you're catching them on a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. So we'll continue to look back on last night, tee up the game tomorrow. We're looking ahead to the trade deadline. Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, will join us in about 10 minutes and get his take on, I guess, Zach Bogosian could be bought out, could be available via free agency. Maybe the Leafs would sniff around on that. There was some talk that Namestnikov in Ottawa could be a target for Toronto. I didn't see where that was going to be a fit, but I don't know what you heard when you're in Ottawa.
I just think with Johnsson out, you're getting a lot of guys that were, you know, available, linked to the Leafs. Because honestly, what does their left side look like? You know, would you like to add
Zach
a piece?
Zach Hyman and Malgin. And Engvall and Engvall.
That's what I'm saying. What's your left side look like if you can get a low impact guy who can go up and down it? I think you have to look at it. Like, this is, like I said before, the manager has to pitch in. I listened to Ken Holland's presser yesterday, and I loved a couple of the words that he said. He said, you know what, the team is doing their part. He goes, as a manager, I want to chip in. I don't know what that means. He goes. He actually said, I don't know what that means because what the marketplace is. I guarantee you Kyle Dubas is wanting to chip in somehow to help his group out, depending on what the market price is. So if you're chipping in on the left side, if you're chipping in on the back end, again, you're not paying a king's ransom, hopefully. But, I mean, Tyson Berry's on that leader or that trade
He's
board.
He's on the Frank's, trade board now,
Frank's
yeah.
board. Like, so there's, to me, there's some moving and shaking. I know Monday could be a lot of recap and bit pieces, but I was in Ottawa last night, and you know Pajot's name's being thrown around, Namestnikov's name, like Tyler Ennis, you know, $800,000. This guy's.
What about Ron Hainsey? Is he a guy they could flip, or do they like him too much? And like they obviously like him, but I mean,
I haven't heard his name now. Apparently, I have to check, but I believe he has a no move because when he signed, he was like, I'm not signing, and then
I want to set up shop. And
so that could be on his peril. But Ottawa would be a team to watch. Obviously, Detroit. You know, a lot of teams, Habs. Like they're, you know, there's some teams that are sellers now that you can start to chip away and maybe find some gold there.
Well, we'll find out between now and Monday. Again, TSN 1050's trade deadline coverage this Monday is powered by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Subaru, confidence in motion. So Darren Dreger, hockey insider, will join us on all the news and notes around there leading up to the trade deadline. Ray Ferraro coming up later in the afternoon. The Raptors back in action tonight. Phoenix in town on TSN. Jack Armstrong will join us from Scotiabank. We'll start teeing up their final 27 games as they chase down Milwaukee, but more so than anything else, try to stay ahead of the Boston Celtics. That more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Jack Armstrong later in the afternoon. The Raptors finally back in action tonight. A 9-day layoff. And they were 15-1 before the break. I guess technically they're on a one-game losing streak, which, like, it is factual, but that's a little bit deceptive. They've lost one game in a row. Prior to that, how did they do? 15 wins in a row. But it doesn't feel like it carries over. You have a 9-day break. You don't get to carry over a 15-1.
No, you sleep with that last game.
Right.
You live with that last game.
That was the amazing thing about sports. It's like you love that win, but then you're just the next day, you're just anxious about the next game coming up. Like, and then it's just the emotional grind, I think, is way more stressful than the physical one.
Yeah.
Because it's just on your mind nonstop. How am I going to play? How am I going to do? Am I going to score? Am I going to make a save?
You overthink.
Everything.
Sometimes you play the game in your mind several times before you actually hit the ice. And that's what makes you mentally tired. The guys, I always felt like the best players were the guys who were completely oblivious to anything.
Yeah.
like, and with all due respects, like almost like dummies. But not dummies. They're smart people. But like, oh, what's being said? What's going on? Like, they just show up and play.
Actually had the ability to play it as if it was a game and not a job, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes, yes.
Like, because you're right. I mean, you see it in all walks of life. But if you overthink it and you're all about intensity and you're jacked up all the time, that can be successful for you. Maybe that's the only way you can stay in the game.
Right.
But it seems like a lot of the guys, like the best players, are just, you know, dipsy doodle here, where I would never do that because I'd be thinking about it constantly.
But
you
turn the mind on when the game gets going.
Yeah, let's just go play and see what happens.
Yeah, that's a special trait.
Yeah.
I never had it.
Well, we'll see with the Raptors tonight.
All I know about you, Brian, is you turned your mind on today to start the show.
You're ready to rock.
Yeah,
I
was
feeling
better today.
By the way, what time did you get to the rink?
I missed like the first 15 minutes of the game.
That sucks, man.
I know. Well, because the Gardner, dude, you can't get it's the Gardner is a disaster right now.
The road system around here,
it's an absolute mess. And then I parked too far away. You know where I park? And
did you run?
It was cold last night. I had a jot going. I wouldn't call it a run. It was a jot.
Yeah.
Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. What's up, Dregs?
Hey guys, how are you?
Well, we're geared up for Monday, man. I mean, there's some names floating around here with the Leafs. What's your read on Toronto? I mean, are you expecting something significant? How would you define your expectations when it comes to Toronto?
Well, I think anything. All of the above. Like, I think you could see, you know, Kyle Dubas and the Toronto Maple Leafs do something of significance. I mean, we talked last night on Insider Trading about the possibility of Tyson Barrie being involved. We'd only want to try and shore up their right side. Could it be as significant of that as that? Could it be less significant? You know, could they do something like just kind of tinkering a little bit and you know, take a run at Zach Bogosian, who I'm sure he's going to clear. He's on unconditional waivers now. You can sign Zach Bogosian on Monday for $700,000 prorated. You know, does that make any sense to the Toronto Maple Leafs on a short term? So I think, honestly, anything is being considered at this point.
You've been reporting a lot on the Jake Muzzin contract, which by all accounts, it sounds like it's just kind of sitting on the table. Do you think that factored into the trade deadline? Like now they know the number and they wanted to get that number done before the deadline. So in case they take on someone with a year or two left on their deal, they're kind of aware of where the money's going to be.
Yeah, that's part of it, Brian, for sure. You know, I don't think that, you know, the Muzzin extension can be announced probably not before around March 1st. And as, you know, as we've speculated, it'll be a 4-year deal. It'll be around $5.6 million annual average salary. My expectation is he'll have trade protection. He'll have lockout protection. I don't know that they'll be able to cover him from the expansion draft. But there's a lot of factors that go into this. And then the game that Jake Muzzin played last night, you know, that's probably a pretty good indication of how invested he is, not just you know, in Toronto, but in the Toronto Maple Leafs. So whether or not that number, what that annual average salary is going to be moving forward, is going to influence Kyle's decisions between now and Monday, is hard to say. I think that the Toronto Maple Leafs just felt like, look, we've got at least two guys who are likely not coming back, and Barry and Cody Ceci, and we've got a guy in Jake Muzzin who we love, how he fits into the room and the way he plays the game, you know, and wants to stay. Let's try and get this figured out. And they did.
You see, the Boston Bruins make a significant move today. I don't know if people believe that was an overpay or not. I think Kasha is a really good player, 24 years old, and, you know, cost control, all of those things. No secret that Anaheim would be a seller. Is Bob Murray just heating up, do you believe?
Yeah, to some degree. I mean, you've got Derek Grant who's still sitting there. And, I mean, there's a player who, you know, I think can provide depth up the middle of the ice for a lot of teams who have interest. And maybe we, as a collective media, you know, we speculate on, you know, some of the bigger names. And Grant's name has been out there, but maybe we haven't paid close enough attention to it. So, I think he might be the next one in Anaheim. But I like what the Ducks did here, too. I mean, they give up a good young piece, of course, but the Boston Bruins had to pay for it. And, you know, they threw in the sweetener, which is a significant one of the first round pick, so that the Anaheim Ducks had to absorb David Backes's contract, and Backes is going to play for the Anaheim Ducks. And, you know, the Ducks had made it clear to a lot of teams over the last few weeks that they were willing to do that. So, I mean, it's a smart move by Don Sweeney. You know, everybody kind of assumed that he was dialed in on Chris Kreider and hoping that maybe the price tag came down on Kreider from the New York Rangers, but it didn't seem like Boston had any interest in giving up their first-round pick for Chris Kreider as part of a package. So I'm not convinced either, guys, that Sweeney is done. You know, I think that they're nibbling a little bit at Ilya Kovalchuk. I don't think they want to
talk, Dregs. I'm sorry. This guy was taken off life support in L.A., and now all of a sudden he's Guy Lafleur? Like, come on. Jesus, well, Murphy.
Is that what you call them, Dregs? Guy Lafleur? I thought
I
heard you say
exactly
that last night.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, I mean, when I think of Ilya Kovalchuk, Guy Lafleur is the first guy that I think of.
Well, he was told by the L.A. Kings, the worst team in the league, to go home and don't come out and come and play for us. And now all of a sudden, like, Bergevin wants first overall and Lafreniere for him. It's just like, I don't get it. Like, just take a fourth-round pick. And if you re-sign that guy, he's going to show up. And everyone in Montreal will not be able to stand him next year. Trust me on that one.
All right. Well, you could be right. I'm not so sure, but we'll see. I mean, I don't blame Mark Bergevin for trying to take advantage of what might be an opportunity here. You know, to push to a second-round pick and something else for Ilya Kovalchuk, I understand your reluctance to even consider that, but I mean, I know there are teams that are kicking tires, and, you know, Burr seems pretty adamant that he's not going to settle on a third-round pick, and if he has to settle, then, you know, he'd rather sign Ilya Kovalchuk and, you know, get him on a bonus-laden contract that's a one-year deal, and, you know, if he earns his bonuses, he makes upwards of $5 million. I mean, that's the reality of the Montreal Canadiens situation. But he is an intriguing piece for a team that is just, they're not relying on depth, but they'd like to have a little bit more scoring depth.
In terms of the rest of the trade bait board, you got Chris Kreider, who has been consistently a number one for quite some time.
Right.
Namestnikov's up there, Pageau's up there. But trying to place a team on these guys, you know, the cup contenders.
Yeah.
Boston made the move, right? I guess St. Louis picked up a defenseman.
Washington
picked up a D.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying. Tampa made their move for Coleman.
Yeah.
Who else are we missing here? Colorado? Like, Vegas made a move for a defenseman.
Yeah.
Is there, like, Colorado seems to be that next team in terms of who we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Pittsburgh made a move.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it feels to me like Colorado has to do something. And, you know, I kind of swapped text with Joe Sakic earlier today, and, you know, there's nothing specific. I mean, he's trying to get something done. And I don't think it's any secret. It's well publicized that, you know, they like Chris Kreider. You know, could Namestnikov from the Ottawa Senators be not a plan B, but maybe a B-minus sort of scenario for Colorado? Maybe, but they're so dinged up front in Colorado, and, you know, they'd like to do something on their defensive core, and, you know, they'd even consider upgrading goal. I mean, those are some significant asks and pieces. You can't do all of that between now and Monday. You just can't. Not with any sort of value. So I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I think Sakic's going to do something, but maybe he also realizes that the window for the Colorado Avalanche is just opening now. They've had a hell of a year, no question about that. But why panic and do something that you might regret when there's more flexibility in the offseason?
I agree with that comment, Darren, but I think sometimes you kind of it's risky, but maybe the right time to pounce is like now. I think they're, you know, you look at teams and just you get an injury the next year, and then all of a sudden a guy wants out, and then things just don't look the same year after year. It's like, don't just keep saying it's about the kids and they're going to grow. Sometimes the time is now, especially when you're dealing with the Western Conference.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And when you look around the Western Conference, you know, obviously the St. Louis Blues have been formidable, and there's some other interesting teams that are in that Western Conference. But Colorado has been as intriguing a team in the West as I think we've seen all year long. So I think Joe will do what he can to reward that group and give them at least some reinforcement. I guess the point I was making is that I know those are three areas of concern. You know, if he's able to tick off one of those three boxes, then maybe that's not a bad thing if he doesn't have to give up a ton of assets.
Good stuff, buddy. We'll hear from you a lot over the weekend. We'll see you a lot on Monday. Thank you all for doing this.
All right, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Darren Dreger, a TSN Hockey Insider. Ray Ferraro, our TSN Hockey Analyst, in about a half an hour. The Raptors in action tonight. We'll tee that up throughout the afternoon as well. Potentially revolutionary movement in the dining world. We'll tell you about that.
Really?
And Kawhi Leonard with an all-time Kawhi Leonard move.
Veteran move, and I've seen it before in Philadelphia.
Okay, we'll get into that and more next. All right, here we go. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Vancouver Canucks, an all-Canadian matchup on a Saturday night here in Toronto, February 29th. All week long, we've been providing daily clues to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player, and today you have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Your final clue. This former Leaf was a frequent roommate of Phil Kessel during his time here in Toronto.
I know who it is.
Frequent roomie of Phil Kessel. Phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050.
You guys know who it is?
I think I do now. I didn't know before, but now I do. Now I'm kind of putting the clues together, and it all makes...
Bozy?
I think it's Bozy.
Yeah.
Because he's won a cup. He's only played for one other team.
Yeah.
What's the matter? Was Bozy late with his pickup there, Phil?
Good one, Randy. Good one.
You know what? When I think of some of those old, like, clips.
Oh, yeah. That was the best one, Randy, just strutting through the dressing. What's the matter? Did Bozy not pick you up on time, Phil?
Good one, Randy. Good one.
Because Carlisle was so happy with his line.
Oh, oh yeah. He thought that was so funny.
Oh, he was.
And he got
giggling.
The old.
Those.
Good one, Randy. Good one.
Like, Phil won't even give him the, like, luxury of a chuckle. Like, yeah, I don't know.
I love that stuff.
Just good one, Randy. Yeah.
Good one, Randy. Good one.
I love
it. I want to go back and watch those, man. That was HBO. That was Hard Knocks. Or what did they call it for the NHL? Hard Knocks is the NFL one.
Yeah.
Like all access
yeah,
or something. 24/7.
Yeah, it was 24/7.
Yeah, because that's what they do with the boxing
matches.
Those
are great.
They're brilliant. I don't know if they do them anymore.
Well, you remember people, like,
they don't do them for hockey anymore.
The Hurt Feelings crowd got all upset when Brucey Boudreaux used the F word a few times. Like,
hello.
That one rattled me.
Hello.
Because people were like, oh my God, the way he talks. Like, that was ridiculous.
It was so stupid. And it was adults pretending like they don't talk like that,
yeah,
or
like
they
that,
ever
that
witnessed
one bothered
that,
me.
Or if it
that,
has anything to do with your life. It's
right.
On HBO. You're not in that room.
That
you don't know anybody
me.
In that room. I agree with you. But that was, I think, the first one, wasn't
yeah,
it?
That was probably, I think it was the first one and the most shocking to people.
Washington, Pittsburgh.
Right.
But I'm saying it was the first 24/7 right. They did, I believe.
And, yeah, and that's what was so shocking to people is seeing... You know, affable Bruce
right.
Boudreaux with a
well,
smile on his
chicken
face.
Chicken wings sauce all over his yap going into the meeting or
yeah.
after.
That one was shocking, too, that a producer wouldn't be like, here's a wet nap. Like, his mug. You look at Bruce's
face.
I don't
remember
dirty
that.
On the wings.
Yeah, wings. Wasn't he?
I don't remember.
He was eating Haagen-Dazs at one point, too. Didn't he go into the mall? They were following him around the mall.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were. I vividly remember a scene. They were in a mall in, like, Virginia or something.
And he's eating Haagen-Dazs?
And I think he said one of my go-tos is the Haagen-Dazs stop. And it's like a Costanza at the U.S. Open moment. I think. I don't remember
but there,
clearly. That might be fake news.
Confirm or deny, he had chicken wing
yeah,
sauce
he had,
on his face?
I believe it was wings or ribs or something.
And he was... Like
he was sitting, but it wasn't like it was... You know, oh, he forgot the cameras were on, and he
yeah.
was. It was like, okay, sit down in the director's chair, I believe. Like
but
he was in the other room.
Wouldn't the cameraman
the
be like,
chair.
Hey, you got something on your face?
That's what I'm saying. That it's not Brucey's problem. Everyone's been in that spot.
That's production.
It's production. How they didn't
hello.
Step in and say hello?
Yeah, but that's probably what they wanted, man. Just everyone to be normal. Do your normal thing. You want to
okay,
just
so.
Goon some chicken wings after the game? Go ahead.
I've seen you with salad on your face.
Yeah, and you guys tell me during commercials.
Exactly. We never
Wouldn't
do
you prefer that?
That?
Exactly.
We're looking out for you. I hope you're doing the same thing for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I never forget when I first met Peter Laviolette. I could tell he didn't like me, and I didn't like him. And the first thing I said to him, he was like, hey, I'm Peter. I'm like, I don't know how to tell you this, but you have a giant booger in your nose. It's massive, and you got to get it out. So then he was, I could tell he hated my guts more.
Why would you?
That's tough. Bad timing.
Like, that is tough.
And then
tough.
The second time, it was even worse. It was like, you got a piece of toilet paper stuck on the ass of your pants. And he was like,
pretty good.
Just because I was like, I don't want this guy to walk around. He just showed up with a giant booger giant hole in the ass of his pants, or there was toilet paper or something.
I think a shield. You see someone with a shield that goes awry, you have to tell them that.
A what?
A shield.
Right, like a shield.
Why do you think he's got the toilet paper on? He was using a public washroom, and he put a shield down.
Okay,
probably, coronavirus or something.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
Like, I'm not sitting directly on this porcelain. Like,
well,
I
wouldn't have gone and taken a moose in the dressing room and put up the shield.
Well, how did it get on his pants?
I don't know.
It's
it
on
was
your shoe.
Like
somebody
that.
Else. If it's in the pant, it was a shield, and he pulled it up and didn't realize that it was still there.
That's like a diaper. Like, the shield is this big.
No, I don't remember what it was, but it was two in a row. It was a booger, and then it was something really bad. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this again. But it's either your fly's undone, you got toilet paper, you got a hole in your ass.
I see, okay.
You got it. Like, I don't know how you, like, how do you recover from that?
No, you don't.
No,
it just went downhill.
You have to be traded. Yeah, you're traded, or he's got to be fired or something.
That was in Carolina.
Someone tweeting and saying, yeah, I am correct in this. Real news. Brucey Boudreaux was at the mall. He was looking to buy his wife a gift. And then after they did that, a throwaway line, he said, we better get some ice cream.
He's the best.
And he loves Haagen-Dazs. He is. He's great. Bruce Boudreaux's great.
Very funny.
And I got to believe he'll be, back behind a bench pretty soon. Yeah. You know what? I think Brucey would be, and I don't know Bruce Boudreaux. We speak as if we really know him. We've interviewed him a bunch of times.
Yes.
He's been so good to us over the years. There is a video that has gone viral online.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has the potential to be truly game-changing. There is an individual eating spaghetti.
I saw that.
Using scissors to cut off these strands
shrapnel.
Of spaghetti. The
I
shrapnel.
Think it's brilliant.
I honestly think it look at it. There it is up on TSN4. Look at this grit grinder. It's cutting it off like a... It's brilliant.
It is. Brilliant.
How efficient is that?
The thing is he is from Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, he's down in the bayou.
He is.
And
gritty.
Those scissors were used
for his
like
hair.
His cat.
Yeah,
right
for his
before.
Hair and to cut the dogs and potentially a sheep
those
that
are
lives
all
in his backyard.
Purpose. But why can't this become a part of the
Italian,
dining experience?
The Italians. I thought I saw Andy Petrillo right away weigh in on it on Twitter.
Yeah, but why do Italians don't get to determine the way everyone eats their food?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah,
like, get a life. We don't bug you about our bologna sandwiches.
Well, what?
Right.
What background does bologna come from? Like,
bologna's Italian, actually.
Well, there you go. So,
but like fish and chips or something.
Fish and chips.
You want to use scissors or your hands? I don't care.
Ham and cheese sandwich.
There you go.
On white bread.
Like, I think it should honestly become a part of the whole game. Like, can you imagine how big of a... imagine you sit down at a table, fine dining, and there's a pair of scissors sitting there.
Dude, you know what else it could be helpful with? When you get the Chinese noodles, the Chinese food?
Absolutely.
They're kind of a little bit sticky. Up, cut, you're good.
How about a steak? Why can't you cut steak with scissors?
Well, I will say this. I have seen a pizza.
Why not?
Pizza, yeah. Italians cut their pizza with scissors. Steph's mom does it all the time.
Not a roller?
Scissors.
Full-blown scissors.
Scissors, the pizza gets cut into...
And if you're getting a thick steak, why not the weed whack?
Or the full weed whack.
Oh, those!
I love that idea.
Yeah, you like cut the bone off. Just
if it's
a T-bone, whacker.
Just get the T-bone out of there. What do you need the bone in?
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, it makes it the taste. You just taste the bone. No,
why do you pay more for the bone in a
I
steak?
I think it's the weight and just the plop it down.
It's not
Fred Flintstone. They put it down.
But you're not eating the bone. The bone
is
a weight.
I think my steak career could be done or close to it.
Really?
I had one with my buddy the other night. I don't know.
Once a month, I get
I
a
love
good
a steak. I love
but I,
a steak.
I can't have like a crappy one. Like, you have to have like a solid steak. And not, it doesn't
and
have
you're
to
not
be,
have steak all
it doesn't
the time.
Have to be Morton's or Barbarian's or something like that. Opus. Like, keg is fine.
Oh, the keg's outstanding.
Like, that
don't
is
ever
middle,
down.
No,
the,
I'm
the
saying.
The keg like, is world class.
I would say.
Dining.
Wouldn't keg be middle of the road as far as it's for everyone, right?
Yeah, the keg is kind of like Panera bread for fast food.
It's financially, everyone should be able to, or is trying to get there.
Yeah, it's like a good spot. It's not going to cost you $300
or
whatever.
It's not Ruth's Chris or Morton's or something like that at an expensive chain. That's my point. So I love the keg. Baseball sirloin, butterfly.
Oh, you go with the baseball.
Well, I butterfly that, so you open it up.
I see. I'm a peppercorn New York. You give me, and I never deviate. I order the exact same thing.
Steak or no?
Peppercorn
no,
New York.
Garlic mash.
You ever order a steak mash? Oscar with the?
No. Isn't there like
what is Oscar?
Well, there's like shrimp or something.
Fish,
No.
Amateur hour.
Or yeah, it's no
amateur.
Good.
But could you imagine if a waiter came up to you, like you're you know how they come out after they drop off the plane, they come back like pepper, cheese, scissor?
Yeah, what would you need?
Like if they just added scissors into the mix.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
a little bit of pepper and some scissors.
I forgot
please.
To point out, Mike sent a note, Michael's on Simcoe. That's a great steakhouse. Been there several
good
times.
Good spot.
Really good. There's some great
steakhouse. You know what used to be the most famous steakhouse in the city? I think it's gone now. It was the House of Chan.
Really?
On Eglinton. You ever been to the House of Chan?
No. Is
you
it good?
Shut your mouth right now. That was that Matt good? Sundin's favorite place. That was a Chinese restaurant.
The Chinese spot, but they were famous for their steak.
Yeah, they would have a boiling rock, and they would throw a piece of meat on the rock, and it would just start sizzling.
Yeah, I've had it. I didn't actually
still
think it was that great. I think it's gone now, because the LRT or whatever has ruined everything on Eglinton. No, so that's been expanded another, like, 2 years.
Yeah, no, I would, like, I love...
House of Chan was unreal.
There's a steakhouse, I think it's on Elm, called Barbarians. They've got a real nice, in the basement, like the
famous.
Wine cellar.
Not far from a place with bright lights.
Yes.
Around
I've
Young
done
and
that,
Bloor
done
area.
That little tour. I've done the Barbarians and then to the next door place.
There's another place around there. Yes. It's equally as famous in the neighborhood. You guys see Kawhi Leonard down in Cabo? During the All-Star break, walking around in a Kawhi Leonard jersey.
I think it's brilliant because people would be like, there's a guy trying to look like Kawhi.
Yeah.
That's why you do it. Joel Embiid used to wear his own jersey, you know, the bar in Philadelphia.
Dude, he's 7'3", cool. though. You can't pretend not to be Joel Embiid.
Yeah, you're like
that Kawhi looks set 6'7". It's not like...
I just think he does it because someone would be like, that guy's trying to be Kawhi.
Well...
Why else would you do it? I've never heard of a famous athlete wearing their own jersey.
We did it as
it's
a
really
joke.
Weird.
Like, I did it as a joke. I didn't. Aginla did it in Vegas. We did it for a bucket of beer. We made him, or not, we bet him that he could do one lap around the pool at the, I think it was the Bellagio, and nobody would recognize him. He said, nobody's going to recognize me. I said, put the jersey on and walk around. He made it all the way around, and the guy right at the end stopped and said, you look like Jerome Aginla.
You look like Jerome Aginla.
Yeah,
that's
like,
the
are
best
you him?
Part.
Like, it was a guy from, like, Calgary or something who happened to be down
you
there.
You know there's a Canadian down there in Vegas.
Exactly.
Like, someone's picking off Aginla.
He had to buy the beers because we won the bet.
Right.
Like, somebody
but
recognized
look,
him.
Look, there's Kawhi. That's not a bet. That's not a bet, man. He's walking down the boardwalk in Cabo.
I think it's brilliant.
And it looks like, you know, late afternoon, probably around 4:30.
By the way, House of Chan is
that a Clippers
cooking.
Jersey?
I just heard that. Yeah, Corey Landsberg sent it in. So shout out to the House of Chan. I guess it moved across the street.
Oh, there you go.
It used to be on the north side of Eglinton.
We'll try it after work one night. We'll bring the group.
You think
just
so?
Give it a shot.
All right. Well, there you go. House of Chan, still available.
Try it out.
Still open. Shout out.
I'm in for it.
Maybe we'll wear an O'Neal jersey. I'll wear my Barry Colts jersey. Yeah. We'll all wear a jersey.
Flames McLennan.
I'm not going to lie. I'll never wear that Colts jersey again. Do you want
don't even have it. I think I took yours.
No. I've got mine in my garage.
You guys have yours, too?
It's in my garage.
I thought I ended up with two for some reason.
No.
Well, you may have ended up with two, but I had one for sure.
Well, I wouldn't. Why would you ever wear it again?
No.
What's the point of you wearing my mockumentary jersey?
There is no point.
It is a beautiful sweater.
It is a beautiful jersey.
Beautiful sweater.
It is.
Yeah. Barry does well.
Anyway. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Well, it's nice to know
there's
the
your
House
Kawhi
of
Leonard. Yeah, actually, I'm really glad to hear that. I genuinely thought it was closing down. It had been around forever. But I guess they just moved. I don't know why you wouldn't get off Eglinton, though, if you can. I lived at Avenue in Eglinton, like, right before the shovels went in the ground.
And it's
like,
a disaster now?
It is an absolute disaster, and it has been for 5 years now.
That whole intersection is a gong show. Any which way. There's a gas station on the southeast corner.
Yep.
And it is a sideshow.
It's an absolute disaster.
I don't know if you guys, have you ever been to Boston?
Yeah. The Big Dig and all that?
That was the biggest gong show I'd ever seen.
Was it like
apparently.
A 15-year construction?
Like a 15-year, and it was like underground
my
and
whole
everywhere.
Time in the NHL, it was a sideshow the whole time.
Trying to get, you could see the garden. You're like, okay, there it is, but we got to go this way. And
yeah.
Like, that's what that area seems like to me now. You know when you're going in that area, it's like, okay, I'm gonna be locked up in traffic forever.
Yeah. Oh, like no one... Ever, unless you're a TTC bus driver, would you ever drive down Eglinton if you don't have to? Yeah. It's like trying to go down Bloor, basically. Like, if you're around, you know, going through Yonge and Bloor or Yonge and Dundas, you can avoid it. You never drive through there.
Yeah.
But there aren't that many escapes. Like, that's what caused me a problem last night. The Gardner, I wanted to get off at Jarvis. You can't get off at Jarvis now when you're going west. So you had to go all the way to Yonge. I had to circle back.
It's not good.
Got my spot. Got in there. And, hey, listen, it worked out. The Leafs won 4-0.
There you go.
Big win last night. Carolina. Your Carolina Hurricanes. Were you being serious about going down there for that outdoor game next year? Aren't they hosting an outdoor game or whatever?
Why don't we do an overdrive trip?
We should all go down. That'd be unreal.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
You can get a tribute video. We'll
personally do it on our iPhone.
We'll push it. We'll push for it.
We'll make it happen.
Jeff O'Neill in the house.
I love how we're going to an outdoor game.
We're going.
We're not even going to go to the House of Chan.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Overdrive continues on the TSN app.
This summer, give your child an experience of a lifetime at Muskoka Woods. This overnight summer camp is a place like no other. At Muskoka Woods, you choose your own adventure, featuring over 60 summer arts and athletics activities to choose from. Water sports, media arts, high ropes courses, and so much more. Staff from around the world will ensure your kids learn new skills, make friends, and create memories that will last a lifetime. Muskoka Woods on Lake Rosso, a summer camp experience like no other. Visit MuskokaWoods.com. You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by Muskoka Woods. This summer, let your child experience an overnight camp like no other. Let the adventures begin at MuskokaWoods.com.